today we do thank the Lord for 30 years. Still going on, 30 years, by the grace of God. Landmark Baptist Church first met in this pastor's home in Leisure City, Homestead, Florida, on July the 14th, 1985. See, I got to change this already. In 1985, we've always been a small congregation, a remnant, if you will. There were times when we were a bit larger, and there's been times when we've even been smaller than what we are now. The fact is that the truths for which we contend have been pretty much universally rejected in this day and age, and truth be told, they've never been very popular. Whether you start with sovereign grace, had a fellow call the other day that was interested in about a situation that's going on about us and the cultural genocide that's been being undertaken and so forth. And he'd seen our website for Free Florida First, and he'd seen the church's website too, but he was clear that, you know, he was getting ready to join a church someplace else, because I think sovereign grace was probably the thing that it was folks, you know, you can't teach people that. God has to teach it to them, you know. There's just no teaching it to people, and I know that I did, and most of you, you know, kind of kicked against the pricks when the Lord was starting to teach you those things. Well, that's not what I've always been taught. That's not what I always thought. Yeah, but that's what the book says. So whether you go from sovereign grace to the rejection of the pagan holidays to the sanctity of marriage to the King James Bible, I mean, you go on and on and on. People just say, I don't. Even the kind of songs we sing, I mean, out of the hymnal or whatever, we don't sing bebop and what you got. Well, I can't change those things. That's not my prerogative to do that. And we were talking about Paul as we've been studying Galatians. He was an apostle, apostolos, a sent one, an emissary of someone else. He's got a message from someone else. He doesn't get to decide what the message is going to be or how it's going to be presented even in that context. And I'm sure some would contend that we've made little or no progress in 30 years of existence. And yet, I think the folks that are with us now would no doubt disagree with that. The Lord's made tremendous progress. He's brought about tremendous growth in our own hearts, in our own lives, and in the life of this little flock. Some might look at it and say, after 30 years and that's all you got, why don't you just shut the doors? There's been times that thought has crossed my head. I probably shouldn't admit to that, but you probably figure that out anyway. You know, there's sometimes I've actually asked myself that question. But by the grace of God, we continue on. And I believe there's a myriad of reasons for that, but I want to consider a few of them this morning. As I told our folks before, now this is something that I touched on, but this is maybe second or third time I've preached this through the years, 30 years, that's not too bad. But, you know, it changes every time, and there's more to it every time. I think the first time I preached this, I wouldn't have had a problem getting through it, you know, in one Sunday, and I looked at it, I said, no way I'm going to get through that today, so I'll apologize beginning. You know, I won't finish this today. You either have to come back and hear it next week or listen to it on the internet or whatever. Well, the first reason we continue on after 30 years is that God has called us to this ministry. Now, God has called us to this ministry. And if He's called us to this ministry, and He hasn't relieved me, you know, how can I just quit? You know, God called Ezekiel in the Old Testament. He told Ezekiel, you're to stand and to preach, regardless of what the reception is. And I think that's the case with God called preachers throughout the ages. In Ezekiel 2 and verse 3, we read Ezekiel speaks concerning his commission. He reflects on it more than once in this book. But in Ezekiel 2 and verse 3, he says, "And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even to this very day. For they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. And they, whether they hear or whether they forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall they know there hath been a prophet among them." You know, the Lord didn't tell Ezekiel, "You're going to go have great success, Ezekiel. You're going to turn everything around. You're going to set the world on fire." He said, "No. You're going to say, Thus saith the Lord. And whether they hear or whether they forbear, they're going to know this, that there was a prophet amongst them."
Amen.
It was somewhat prophet. That word literally means we think of it as a foreteller, something foreteller. But it's a forth teller. The literal meaning of that. Sometimes it touches on future things, but to be a prophet is one who tells the word of God. Like it says, "Thou shalt say, Thus saith the Lord." The Lord called the Apostle Paul. We've been studying for recent weeks, well, previous to that, in the book of Romans for how many years? The Lord called the Apostle Paul to minister to the Gentiles in Romans 15 and 16. Paul says that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God at the offering up of the Gentiles. The Lord called me to this, Paul said. And he kept at it, no matter what, shipwreck, jail, beatings, he kept at it by the grace of God. Until at last, we understand from history anyway, they took his head off, and then he stopped. And hopefully we have the grace to stand like that and to have that sort of testimony. And Paul recognized that call of God upon himself in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 16. Paul said this, "For though I preach the gospel, the Evangelion, the good news, and though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. Necessity is laid upon me." You know, he was called to, "Necessity is laid upon me. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." So when it says, Paul said, "You know what, I don't have any choice." Paul knew that, you know, on the road to Damascus. Again, you know, the greatest testimony against Arminianism, you go and read of Paul's conversion on the road to Damascus. You know, Paul knew that he didn't have any choice. And the Lord's commanded his church to go forth and proclaim the gospel, the Evangelion. Again, the gospel is the good news only to those for whom it's intended, number one. And number two, the gospel was never meant to be an offer or a deal. It's a proclamation. They were called to proclaim the gospel. Christ has died. Christ has completed his atonement. Christ has purchased his people. It is finished. Not as, "Hey, we got a great deal for you. Got a wonderful offer for you." No. Matthew 28:18, the Lord said to his church, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power, all exousia, all authority, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world." And so it is that we often may not see results as the world would count results. Sometimes we're called to simply, and as the Lord alluded to that when he was speaking to Ezekiel, whether they hear or whether they forbear. Sometimes we're called to be, and I think increasingly as I look about the world about me, we're called to be simply a witness against the darkness that surrounds. They'll know there's been a prophet in their midst. They may not listen. They may not respond. But they'll know there's been a prophet in their midst, to be a witness to the darkness that abounds. And as we relate to the past, we know that God's glorified. God is glorified whether they hear or whether they forbear. Ours is to obey, to proclaim, to trust. You know, that verse I often go back to. God is glorified, folks. We need to get that in our mind. You know, you hear these Arminians say, well, man, 20 people got saved and God was glorified. Well, you know, I don't know what happened there, but even if that was true, and then what about the scores who didn't? God's still glorified. And I got scripture for that. You all know it. But in 2 Corinthians, Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 14, he says, now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest, makes known, the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor, a sweet smell of Christ. In them that are saved, and in them that perish. Wait a minute. Yeah, that doesn't fit in with the modern, you know, Arminian theology. No. Paul says, God's glorified when we proclaim the truth, in them that are saved, and in them that perish. To the one, he says, Paul says, to the one we are a savor of death unto death. To the one we're a stench of death unto death. To the other, a savor of life unto life. How do you know which ones they are? We don't. God does. To the one we're a savor of death unto death. To the other, a savor of life unto life. And Paul says, and who is sufficient for these things?
Amen.
And like I try to summarize it in modern language, I think Paul there is just saying, wow. You know, to the one we're a savor of death, to the others, wow. It's the same words, see? Because it's not my words that do it. My words are not the gospel. What Christ did is the gospel. And we're privileged to proclaim the gospel. To the one we're a savor of death unto death, to the other a savor of life unto life, who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God. Now you see, some folks will start saying, well, you know, we can get more results for doing it. You know, maybe we just modify things a little bit. We become a little more, what's the word today? User-friendly. I think churches even call themselves that now, or maybe they don't use the word user, but it's something, congregant friend, whatever. Maybe a little more user-friendly. Paul says, we're not as many that corrupt the word of God. Paul says, I don't have a choice in this. I don't get to decide, you know, what's going to be preached. But as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. That's pretty serious stuff, pretty heavy stuff. And if the Lord calls you to do that, well then, you best be about doing it. And so we continue on because I believe that God has called us to this ministry. As old Stonewall Jackson used to say, duty is ours, consequences are God's. Duty is ours. You know, I can't see the future. Say, well, if I do this, then maybe this will happen. Or maybe we change this. Or maybe, you know, that doesn't work unless you're God. You know? Because I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. I don't know the law of unintended consequences. You just pick up the paper and see what the idiots in Washington and Tallahassee are doing, and then read it the next day, and you see what the law of unintended consequences will be. But there's no such thing as that with God. And so we continue on because I believe the Lord's called us to this work and the Lord's called us to this place. My second point. We continue on because knowing that God's called us to this ministry, I don't believe that we could quit, even if we wanted to. Remember Jeremiah? You know, he became discouraged. He tried to quit. In fact, he told the Lord, he said, Lord, you didn't tell me the truth about this stuff. Well, the Lord had. Jeremiah wasn't listening. But Jeremiah said, you weren't. And Jeremiah had in his mind he was going to go and people were going to listen and they were going to flock around and applaud him. And that's not what happened. At times he ended up in the bottom of a deep hole, you know, thrown in there and threatened and all sort of things. Jeremiah said, wait a minute, this isn't what I signed on for. Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Jeremiah says, "Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. I'm done, I finished, I quit. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay." Jeremiah said, "I tried to quit, but I couldn't. I tried to quit, and the Lord wouldn't let me." It's not always been easy. I can't take it through all of it. Look, over these 30 years, as big or little as we've been, the time has come we've had to discipline members. You know what that is? Well, it's in the Bible, but most churches don't know what that is anymore. But we've had to discipline members. In some cases, my own family members. They're not easy. It'd been easier not to do that. But the difficult things come. In 92, was it, when Andrew came through, we had a little meeting house in downtown Homestead. It had been, it was an old cracker house. And at one time, then it was converted into it had been a florist shop. And the Lord led us to purchase that. And the first time I took our little congregation over to look at it, they thought I was crazy. They wanted to have me committed. You could look up to the ceiling and see the sky, and you could look down through the floor and see the ground in some of the places. By the grace of God, you know, we were able to put that thing together. And mainly me working and my granddad and some other folks helping out, and my wife and whatever, but it was like, we put in the floors, we put in the ceilings, we did that stuff. By the grace of God. An old cracker house up on those pillars like they are with crawl space on below it and everything. And we had that for several years, started our church school there. But Hurricane Andrew came along, and that old cracker house had endured a bunch of hurricanes, but it didn't endure Andrew. And the Lord took that meeting house away. Through the years, struggles sometimes with children and so forth, your own families, even as those things that crop up from time. Disappointed at times in others, disappointed at times in myself. But the Lord wouldn't let us quit. You know, I consider Peter, you know, came time in Peter's life, he decided, you know, maybe he'd quit too. Because you know what? Peter had messed up. Peter had denied his Lord before his crucifixion. Peter was disappointed in himself, and it came to a point in his life that he thought, well, Peter said, I go fishing. I'll go back to what I used to do. I go fishing. I'll just return to my old work. John 21:3. Then Simon Peter saith unto them, I go fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. Now, Peter was a leader, even when it wasn't in a positive sense. Peter said, I'm going to go fishing. They said, oh, we'll all go with you. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught naught, nothing. So the rest joined with Peter. Eventually the Lord comes by and gives them a great catch of fish. They all come to the shore to sit and to enjoy it. John 21:15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? A lot of debate about, you know, what that meant, more than these, you know, more than the other apostles, more than the fish, because he was returning to fishing, more than... Well, I don't know that that is all what matters so much. The bottom line was, you know, Peter, do you love me more than anything else? Peter, do you love me more than these? He said unto them, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And of course, most of you know the different Greek words that are being used there, and the Lord saying agape, and Peter saying phileo, and but it's still the point gets through there. The Lord says, Peter, do you love me? He says, you know you love me. He says unto him, feed my sheep. You know, I called you to do this, Peter. Then do it. Don't say, I'm going fishing. No. And he saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And that time the Lord used the word phileo that Peter had been using. But again, I think the point gets through regardless. Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said to him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. You know, Peter, do you love me? Then do what I told you to do. You love the Lord? Do what he told you to do. You know, if we love him, then, you know, we have to do what he told us to do. And again, I believe the Lord's, you know, called me to this ministry, and he's placed me here, and he's placed me in this. And so he says, feed my sheep. And by the grace of God, that's what we try to do. There's a lot of, and it's been going on for a while, because you see Spurgeon make mention of it as well, but about clowns in the pulpit and so forth and so on. But we're not supposed to be entertaining the goats. You know? That's not what we're to be about. We're to be feeding the sheep. And so he says, Peter, you love me? Then feed my sheep. Peter attempted to quit, but the Lord wouldn't let him. You know, the Lord can do that because he's sovereign. I consider an example of, and I won't get into all details there, most of us know that we know the story of Jonah. He tried to quit. He became fish food. Yeah. Yeah. How did that work out for you, Jonah? No. Jonah had some time, I guess, to stop and think it over. And the point of all this is as well, the Lord brings us through these times and brings us to points of decision and so forth. It's not that we're robots. You know, they all, you Calvinists, you believe God, you know, makes everybody. No. God's working out everything in His, in every detail. It's part of His decreed will.
Yeah.
Every detail. But at the same time, He brings us through those things. You know, He could just say, you know, Jonah, go do this. Yes, Lord, I'm going to do that. And it'd be a rope. It wasn't. The Lord teaches us and causes, and this is all part of His providence. It's a great mystery. I'll admit to that. It all unfails in accordance with His perfect and detailed will.
Yes.
Nothing happens that He hasn't decreed. But at the same time, we have to go through that process. And Jonah got swallowed by a whale. And I'd just soon not go through that. You know? It's hard to kick against the pricks. And so by the grace of God, we continue on. I think I got 7 points here, and I've got two. I'm going to try to get one more, and then we'll pick it up next week, by the grace of God. Third, we continue on, because as a Christian husband, as a Christian father, and now as a Christian grandfather, I have to account for my own household. I mean, everything else apart. I love everybody else, but I have to account for my own household. Paul wrote to young Timothy, the pastor at the church of Ephesus, in 1 Timothy 5:8, and he says, and if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. I have to ensure that my own household is grounded in the faith, that they're brought up on the Scriptures. That they walk with one of the Lord's churches. If we close the doors here, let's say, okay, I close the door. Oh, wait a minute. Where am I going to go to church? Okay. And I'll be honest with you. And again, maybe you say, well, you're the preacher. I understand that. I'm the preacher. It's not easy, but You say, it's easier because you're a preacher, you know. Because I tell you what, if I close the door here, I know of no other church in this area that I could, in conscience, take my family to. And I know of very few, honest to God, I know of very few anywhere. I'll say this anyway. And I know very few that even call themselves Landmark, Independent, Sovereign Grace, Missionary Baptist. I probably should have said that, but I did. And I understand. Yeah, okay, that's easy because I'm the preacher. And I agree with everything I say today. I might disagree with it tomorrow. And you all don't. So there has to be, there's room, you know, and I think I give people space for, you know, for what God teaches and for the soul liberty. But if God led us to close the doors, or if I just tried to do it on my own, then I'd be compelled to go someplace where we could go to church or start another church someplace else. And so if for no other reason, for the sake of my own family, for my own household, I have to continue on. And brother, more and more we need to prepare ourselves for what's to come. And I can't help but in my points here, they kind of overlap sometimes, so you have to excuse that too. But we have to prepare ourselves for what's to come. We have to prepare our children, our grandchildren as best we can. And of course, we're all familiar with the Old Testament Saint Joshua, who said in Joshua 24:15, "If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." So you decide what you're going to do. You know, you don't think this is the thing to do? You go do something else. I don't compare myself with Joshua, but I guess I won't. Maybe. But I've always kind of been that way, you know. If you don't think this is where you're supposed to be, then don't be here. because this is the way it's going to be. Joshua says, me and my house. I go back and you read a little bit of history. And read the founding of this nation. And you read what those founders, a word they use that we don't even think about much. They use about the word posterity. Posterity. They had in mind the folks that were going to come behind them. They weren't living for the moment. They weren't living for their own pleasures and to consume them. They spoke time and time again of posterity. They understood the duty and the obligation they had to those that would follow them. And our duty and obligations are no less. Do what the Lord told you to and minister to your family. You think about Noah. Noah preached for over 100 years. You know who got on the ark? His family. Now they all thought he was crazy. He was preaching to everybody. They didn't like him much. But he preached to everybody. But who got on the ark? His family. And no others. But by God's grace, he did bring his family. Hebrews 11:7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, being heir of the righteousness which is by faith. He saved his house, by which he condemned the world. It seems kind of a dovetail what Paul was talking about over in Corinthians. Now, to the one we're a savior of life to life, to the other we're a savior of death unto death. God's glorified in them that are saved and in them that perish. Same book, same message. I think it's important, you know, we sometimes consider that when we dwell on numbers and results. And how big was the ark? You know, were they bouncing around in there like marbles? Now, God, the ark was exactly the size that God had determined. And it was exactly prepared to be the size for those that God had determined would be on that ark. Noah may did not understand it all or have it all figured out, but God did. God determined who would be on that ark, and it was Noah and his family. When you think of a negative example, perhaps, of, you know, Lot, and he essentially quits, goes, lives in Sodom and whatever, and he ends up losing his family. His wife, his sons-in-laws, his married daughters, and the unmarried daughters, you know, commit incest with their father. What an ugly story. But we've preached on Ruth before, too, and somehow God used that to his glory. You know, the Moabites came from one of those incestuous relationships and an ancestors of the Lord. Wow! God's something. God's grace is something. But it doesn't justify, you know, our sins. And so I have to keep on. Just between you and me, maybe you have a different view of some things, so that's okay. I couldn't go to a church and sit through a Christmas service. I couldn't do it. Go sit through a Easter service. The preacher picks up and starts reading from the English Standard Version. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. Or you go on and on, you know. Contemporary Christian music. You know, got the words up there on a wide screen so people can do the bebop and the rhythm and all that stuff that goes on in entertaining the goats today. I've had to get up and walk out of Holy Sovereign Grace Baptist churches when they start singing the blasphemous battle hymn of the Republic. And don't any question. That is blasphemous. You go read what the words are. And you see what's being set forth there. It's blasphemy. I couldn't do it. No, I couldn't. I might as well just tell it all. I couldn't come in there and sit through what today they call, you know, military appreciation services, where we worship the empire and we worship the minions of the empire. I couldn't do it. I realize a lot of them are ignorant, stooped into what they're. I served for 8 years in the Marine Corps. I mean, I was pretty ignorant, stupid. I couldn't do it. Maybe you could. I don't know. But I that's why I know I go on. Or if they had the striped flag up front, I couldn't do it. Time was, I could have, but I can't now. I just couldn't do it. That's just the way things are. So that's why I keep on, for my own family, for my kids, for my grandkids, and yay, for myself, because where else am I going to go? Lord willing, we'll continue on next week. And every week it's been because Lord's willing that we've continued on. For 30 years! Where did the time go? I don't know. But the Lord does. And He's going to call me home, or He's going to come take me home, or whatever. But until He does, by His grace, I pray that we continue on faithful. Let's take our hymnals this morning and stand and sing a closing hymn together. She'll be his bride someday, number 402. 402. Another one of those by Catherine Parrish.
Church here on this earth, which our Savior called. his bride someday. Ever since Christ built his church, while he walked upon this earth, there has never been a time one of them you could not find. Jesus bought her with his blood, loves her with a special love, will protect her on her way. She'll become his bride someday. She's his body, he's her head, and for her his blood was shed. Heresy she will refute, for she's the keeper of the truth. Jesus bought her with his blood, loves her with a special love, will protect her on her way. She'll become his bride someday. When she reaches heaven bright, dressed in linen clean and white, she will then become his bride, and she will never leave his side. Jesus bought her with his blood, loves her with a special love, will protect her on her way. She'll become his bride someday. I'm so glad that I belong to his church, so true and strong. If I serve him faithfully, then his bride perhaps I'll be. Jesus bought her with his blood, loves her with a special love, will protect her on her way. She'll become his bride someday.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness, for your grace, for your provision, for your protection, and for your guidance over these past 30 years. And Lord, we know we can only continue on faithful by your grace. It's not within us. And so, Father, we pray for the continuance of those things. Lord, you've been with us these 30 years, and we've lacked nothing. Father, may we go on in trust and in confidence. Father, what peace we have knowing that we serve a sovereign God that rules and reigns in the affairs of men. And while we may not understand or even enjoy the things that transpire about us, we know that they come from your loving hand, that you're working all things together for the good of your people. Lord, thank you for this little flock that you've brought together. Thank you, Lord, for those you brought to be with us today. We pray your hand upon them, guide their paths. Pray again, Lord, for our brother Prophilus. He's away from us today. That you keep him safe, that you might return to him a measure of strength and health. Father, thank you for that love that spanned eternity, that was shed upon your people even before they were. Lord, we thank you for the blood of the everlasting covenant, for the completed atonement of our Savior, for the message that it is finished. And Lord, in the light of that, and by your grace, may we continue on faithful. And we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.